Over to you.
Good morning. Well, did I draw the short straw or not? I don't know. Continuing what Matt was leading us in last week, we're thinking about the Trinity. The Trinity is not a puzzle, it's a solution. The early church came up with the word Trinity to perfectly express their experience of God. The Jews for centuries had been saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." They believed in one supreme God, the creator of everything. And then Jesus came along and he claimed to reveal what God is like. In fact, he claimed to be God in human form. The human face of God had come to earth. And the early disciples said, "Jesus is Lord." Now we have a problem. God, Jesus. And then Jesus, on that last night with his disciples, he says to them, "I'm going to leave you, but I'm going to send someone to take my place. A comforter, someone who will perfectly represent me and, in fact, is like me. I will send you another comforter." Comforter number one, Jesus. Comforter number two, the Holy Spirit. So now we have a problem. Father, Son, and Spirit. Three, and yet one God. You can imagine the disciples scratching their heads and saying, "How on earth are we going to cope with this?" Well, it took them 200 or 300 years before they worked out Trinity. Yes, three in one. Three persons, yet one God. Little analogies, actually, those were all heretical. They show us that it's almost like three parts of one, but not like that. I'm going to show you another heresy, almost a heresy, in a story that we're going to tell you now. So Jesus is baptized. The Father speaks from heaven. The Spirit descends upon Jesus in the form of a dove. The whole Trinity is present, a marvelous experience for Jesus, an affirmation of who he was and his role. And as the gospel closes, Jesus says, "Go into all the world, tell the good news to everyone, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit." So at the outset of Jesus' ministry and at the close, there is Trinity, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, we have a special experience for you now, all the way from Broadway, or is it the West End? We have the Isca players. And this is a little story that will be, which will make everything very clear about the Trinity. Once there was a man who was walking along a beach. As he strolled along, he stumbled across a very deep hole that he fell into. Oh, he struggles, and he struggles, and he struggles. But soon realizing it's futile, he was stuck and wouldn't be able to escape. So he started calling for help.
Help!
Help! It was just then that three faces appeared over the top of the hole. We'll work. Marvelous. We're perfect. Among the three, one was called Light, who was very brave and said, another one was called Love, who was very strong. The third one was very gentle, called Spirit, who said, "I will show you where to go and blow a cool breeze into the hole so that it'll be easier for you when you're down there." So light was lowered on a rope right down to the bottom. On reaching the floor, light untied the rope and carefully tied it round the man. I thought perfect casting for this. And helped the man free himself from the loose sand, while Love, the strong one, slowly and gradually pulled him out of the hole. But while this was happening, the man knocked the sides of the wall and began to cave in, burying the light in the depths of the sand. Oh. The two who were on the top said, "We can't abandon our friend to the grave." Oh, you were going to say that, weren't you? "We can't abandon our friend to the grave. We'll go down and dig him out." For 3 days, they dug and they dug and they dug and they dug and they dug. We can continue this, couldn't we? And eventually, they found their brave friend. Oh, look, my brave friend. But sadly, he'd already died. But Spirit said, "I will blow and breathe life back into him." And this is what they did. And the one who had been dead came back to life. All four rejoiced together. The one who had been dead, those who had saved him. All four rejoiced together. Now, don't ever do it. Man, you can sit down, but I'd like our three holy people to remain. I've called them Love, Light, and Spirit. The three simplest and yet most profound truths in the Bible are that God is love, God is light, God is spirit. God is the source of all goodness, all beauty, and all reality. Love, light, and spirit. Sometimes we would close our service with these words. Join in with them as soon as you cotton on what I'm saying. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. So if you'd like to join hands together, from all eternity, before there was anyone or anything, God has existed, perfectly happy and contented. Love, light, fellowship. That's how they related to each other. Self-giving. Let's do a little dance, shall we? Go around. This is how some theologians have described the Trinity, as a dance. Oh, okay. Okay, we've had enough. That's good. The source of all love, source of all goodness, because God is love. The source of all light, the source of all beauty, because without light, there is no beauty. The source of the spirit, the source of all reality, because ultimately reality is not material and physical. The spirit who is everywhere. Thank you, Holy Trinity. Theologians among you, that was bordering on a heresy called tritheism. The earlier heresies were modalism. This is tritheism. But do you see the point? The most important person on the earth today is the Spirit. The Father is seated in heaven. Jesus ascended to the Father at the Father's right hand. And he said, Jesus said, "I'm going, but I'm going to send you someone else to take my place." The Spirit. The Spirit is the unsung hero of this age. He is humble and self-effacing. He does not draw attention to himself. He always points us to Jesus. That's why we don't give him the honor that we sometimes should deserve. He deserves. We think of the Spirit. If you look at stained glass windows of the Trinity, you have this old man, and then you have with a beard, long white beard. Then you have Jesus in front of him, and then this little dove thing. Ridiculous. The Spirit is just as much a person as the Father and the Son. They are co-eternal. They've existed from all eternity. And one day, when the veil is removed from our eyes, we will recognize the Spirit for all he is and all he has done. So it's not like Father, Sim, Julia, Son, and Maria, Spirit, as if Father, Son, and also Ran, as if the Spirit is in another category, doesn't really, as is not the real God, you know, it's just the Spirit. No, all three are important. And therefore, it is a bit rude to talk about the Spirit as if he is an it. And yet we sometimes do it, because we think of this power, force, Spirit. What is this? We can't get our heads around it. Yet the Spirit is on the earth and is working. I like to say that the Spirit is just as present on the earth now as Jesus was when he walked by the Sea of Galilee 2,000 years ago. If you walked along the seashore of Sea of Galilee, you could see his footprints in the sand. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we will recognize that the Spirit is among us. So what happens? Was that a lucky coincidence that that prayer was answered? No. God was behind it. Was that healing a spontaneous remission? No. God was behind it. God has given us the opportunity to honor him and recognize him if we will but do so. Whilst those who are skeptical and cynical and unbelieving have sufficient grounds for saying, well, it's just a fluke. It's a luck. It's a coincidence. So God is there for us. Father, Son, and Spirit are with us today. And we're going to take communion now. And we want to thank Jesus for the bread and the wine. And yet, the whole Trinity was involved. One thing that we sometimes get wrong is that we think of the Father as distant and uncaring. As Jesus died, the Father's heart was grieved. He wasn't angry. He was grieving at the death of his only son. The first time love is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 18, where Abraham nearly sacrifices his son, Isaac. And God says, take your son, your only son whom you love. And that's a picture of the Father's heart as Jesus goes to the cross, dying on our behalf. The Father was grieved. Jesus felt totally forsaken on the cross. And now the Holy Spirit is with us as we take the bread and the wine. We're going to pass the bread among us now. I thought rather than the melee around the two different stations, we would, and we can do this together. So we want to honor the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and how each of them were involved in rescuing us. You see, we were like John, weren't we? We were caught in powers that are too strong for us, too great for us. We couldn't escape. Yes, sin, guilt, wrongdoing, distance from God. We were alienated from him. But what Jesus has done, in partnership with the Father and the Spirit, we have been rescued. And so when we've all got the bread, a piece of bread and wine, if I can take some bread too, we're going to do this together. You might like to peel off your top layer of the... I've got something. Gosh, this is tricky stuff, isn't it? You do it correctly, you get a bonus bit of bread, don't you? So let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to die for us. Jesus, we thank you that you came. We thank you that your body was broken so that we might be made whole. We thank you for this bread, which represents your body. We eat now in faith. Something happens when we eat in faith. I don't know what it is. Perhaps grace is released to us. We're told that healing can come if we discern the body of Jesus and appreciate that he died for our wounds. He died his wounds for our healing. And we thank you that the life is in the blood. And your blood was shed for each one of us, for the forgiveness of our sins. So, Lord, we ask your forgiveness for those things we have done wrong, where we have erred and strayed from our ways, where we've said things we shouldn't have said and thought things we shouldn't have thought, and done things we shouldn't have done. And we thank you that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. So we drink now in faith. That nothing separates us from your love. Thank you for your presence here with us, Lord Jesus. We praise you and worship you. Amen.